This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, بإذن الله تعالى we are in our session on the wisdom of Luqman عليه السلام. And until this session, last two or three sessions, I have been talking about the importance of service to your parents. I have been talking about the rights of the parents and the importance of children lowering the wing of kindness to them. Meaning that it's not just a matter of, you know, serving them as in get me a cup of tea. It's a matter of the whole demeanor of what you do. One of my dear friends from Hyderabad, Hanif Bhai Tumbi, sent me a lovely video of this gentleman who is talking about his experience. And it's a wonderful video. I thought it illustrates the question and the importance of honoring parents and of the way of treating them. This gentleman says that one day I was sitting with my parents. My mother was sitting opposite. I was sitting next to my father on a sofa. And my nephew, my sister's son, was sitting with his grandmother, meaning my mother, on the other side. And the conversation was on about something. The TV was going on. TV was on. And in that time, this gentleman says that I took the opportunity of the fact that people's attention was on the television and elsewhere. So I took some money out of my pocket. He said I wanted to give some money to my father. So I took some money out of my pocket and I gave it to my father. Now, he says that I didn't realize, but my mother saw that. And he said my mother was a, you know, tough lady. So she had a very brusque way of speaking. So he said that my mother said to me, "Dobara do, give again." And she said it in this kind of a tone, "Dobara do, give again." So he said I was a bit startled for a minute, and then she said to me, "Dwara do," and then she mean give again, and then she said to her grandson, which is the nephew who was sitting next to her. This man very humorously says, "Wo abu chhe foot, abu sawa chhe foot ka hai, us waqt paune chhe foot ka tha." So he said, today he is 6'3" or 6'4", and at that time he was about, 5'9" or something. So he was under 6 feet tall, a young boy. So the grandmother says to the child, she says, "Dekho mamu kaise dete." She said, "Look and see how your uncle is giving." She's not saying count the money. She says, "See how he is giving." So this man said, "I was very self-conscious, but I gave it. My father gave me back the money and I gave it to him in the way that I had given him before, and which is like this." He said, "I put the money in my hand and I presented it like this to my father." This, and he said that the reason I gave it that way, I didn't give it like this, I gave it this way, I didn't give it with an upper hand, I gave it as if I am making a, as if I am giving a gift to a great king, I'm giving a gift to some great sheikh or something, where I am the supplicant. Even though I'm giving, I'm the one in need. So I'm presenting it and saying, "Please accept it, because by accepting it, you are going to add value to me." If you just touch it, if you accept it, if you indicate that you have accepted it, to jaise hamari Urdu mein bolte hain, niyaz khubool ho gayi, nazrana qabool ho gaya. तो जो नजराना देता है वो अपने आप को देने वाला समझ के नहीं देता, वो अपने आप को लेने वाला समझ के देता है कि मुझसे अगर ये ले लिया जाए तो मेरी जिंदगी बन जाएगी। When a person gives a nazrana or a niyaz or an offering like this, he doesn't consider himself to be the giver. He considers himself actually to be the person in need, and he is hoping that the person to whom he is offering this, who is the king, who is the ruler, who is the great sheikh, the alim, the peer, if he accepts it, then I am the one who has been hugely benefited, and I am the one who has truly benefited, because my humble offering was accepted by the king. So he said ke maine isliye is tarah walid ko maine diya. He said I gave it to my father like this as an offering. So he said my nephew saw this, and then the nephew said to him, he said, please, Gustakhi maaf kare. He says, forgive my impertinence, but I just want to understand better. He says, aapne aisa kyun diya? He said, why did you give it like this? So the gentleman says, ke zindagi bhar mere walid ka haath aise tha. Zindagi bhar unka haath aise tha. To main nahi chahta ke ab jab wo zayif ho gaye hain, unka haath aise ho jaye. हमेशा उनका हाथ ऐसे था, मेरा हाथ ऐसे ही था, मैं ऐसे ही जाता था तो वो मुझे देते थे, मैं लेता था। तो अब मैं जब देने की मुझे अल्लाह ने ताकत दी है, सकत दी है, तो मैं देता भी हूँ ऐसे जैसा कि ले रहा हूँ, और मैं जानता हूँ कि वो मुझे जो देंगे वो दुआ है, उसका तो कोई मोल ही नहीं है। राइट, डोंट वरी, आई एम स्पीकिंग इन उर्दू बिकॉज ऑफ द ऑडियंस एज वेल, बट आई एम एवरी वर्ड आई से इन उर्दू आई विल ट्रांसलेट इट। So he, this son, this nephew asked him, he said, why did you give like this? I want to understand, please forgive my impertinence, forgive the fact that I'm asking this question, I just want to understand. So this gentleman says that all my life, I have been like this with my father, meaning I was the one in need. If I needed money, I had to go and ask my father. It doesn't mean that he always asked like this, meaning that he was the receiver. So he says, my father's hand was always this way. My father always gave me. And this is how he gave me, because this is his money. He's giving it to me like this, and I'm taking it like this. All right? Now, today, when Allah has given me wealth and has given me the ability to serve my parents, I don't want my parents to feel that they are the ones in need. So I don't want my father's hand ever to change from here to here. He should never have to ask anything. Right? He should never have to ask anything. Before he asks, I must give him. And when I give him, I must give him with this deep and sincere understanding that by taking it, he is adding value to me. I'm not doing him any favor. I'm not doing him any favor. But by accepting it from me, he's adding value to me. Because at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, I ask you, we only get what Allah has written for us. Only the means changes. Right? Only the means changes. Your wife, for example, when she was growing up in her parents' house, she was getting her sustenance from her parents. Then she marries you, and now Allah has written her sustenance. It is her sustenance. But Allah wrote it in your account, and so now she gets it through you. Right? Does it mean that she is your slave? No. Allah has only changed. Who is feeding her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah only changed the means from here to here. I'm working in a company and I'm getting a salary. I leave that job. Will I starve? Will I die? No. I join some other company. So only the means through which Allah gives us, only that changes. So with parents, this is the approach that one must have. The approach of a supplicant who goes to his parents and who treats every opportunity to serve them as a personal boon, as a personal benefit, as a personal gift to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave you the gift of serving your parents. Right? Allah gave you the gift of serving your parents. And which reminds me of the hadith which I have mentioned before, but you know, these are things which should be literally mentioned again and again, maybe on a daily basis. And that is the hadith where a young man came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and complained about his father. And he said to him that my father takes my money without asking me. Now, maybe it was even, you know, it could be also a matter of inconvenience for the man, because for example, if he picks up his wallet or, you know, whatever they used to carry money, however they carried it, and thinking that he has got something in it, and then when he goes to the market, for example, he finds it's not there because his father has taken it from there and didn't tell him. You know, he feels, maybe he feels irritated. Allah knows best what they... But anyway, he came and he complained and he said, Ya Rasulullah, my father takes my money, takes money from me, takes my money without asking me. So please tell him not to do that. Now, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent for the father. He said, call the father. So somebody went to call the father, and of course they would have told him that this is what happened, because he would have asked him what happened. I mean, why is the Prophet calling me? Obviously they would have told him that, look, this is your son is there. He's complained that you take his money without asking him. Now this man, on his way, he's walking from his house to Rasulullah sallam. He said some ashar. He recited some poetry in his heart. He didn't say it aloud. It's in his heart. And the gist of the poetry is, he said that, oh Allah, there was a time when, he said that when the child is born, my whole life changed. The poetry was addressed to the son. He said, when you were born, my whole life changed. My whole life's focus changed. And the focus was your benefit. Everything I did was for your benefit. And as you grew older, as you grew stronger, I became weaker. He said, the strength of my bones, the strength of my muscles, the strength of my body, it went into your bones. And today a time has come when you complain that I am taking your money without your permission. Now he recited this poetry in his heart. He thought of these verses of poetry, and then he reached Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when he reached Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was about to ask him about this whole matter, Jibreel Alayhi Salaam came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said to him, before you ask this man any question, ask him to recite the poetry that he thought in his heart, because his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu heard that poetry on his arsh, and he wants you to hear it. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the man, you recited some poetry in your heart. So the man said, Ya Rasulullah, yes I did, but how do you know? So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jibreel Alayhi Salaam is here, and he says that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala heard the poetry that you recited in your heart, and Allah wants me to hear it. So recite the poetry for me. The man recited these verses again that he had said. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face became red with anger. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to the young man and he said, get out of here. He said, get out of here. He said, if your father takes you and sells you in the market like a slave, he has a right to do that. He said, you and everything you own belongs to your father. So forget about complaining that he's taking what is yours. He says he can take you also. And what is yours is not yours, it's actually his. He's taking his own thing and you have no right to complain. So get out of here. Now, this is the position of the parents. May Allah give us the tawfiq and the ability to recognize this and to take advantage of this. And that is the reason why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your parents, two of them are the two gates. Whether they are gates of Jannah or the gates of Jahannam depends on you. But they are the two gates. And therefore, make sure that you make them into gates of Jannah. inshallah. Now, while talking about the obligation of children to obey parents, it is necessary also to remember that parenting is a responsibility. Parenting is not simply the biological activity of reproduction, right? So please understand that. It's not just something that, it's not accidental, it's not like in an animal, you know, you drop a calf and it's gone. No. It's a very different thing altogether, and therefore it is a responsibility. Parenting, the raising of children, is a responsibility. I've written a book on this. It's called Raising a Muslim Child. It's on Amazon and everywhere else. Please do read it. Now, when obedience is ordained and it is fard on the children, tarbiyah is ordained and fard on the parents. Please understand this very, very clearly. Tarbiyah does not mean throwing money at them. Tarbiyah does not mean throwing gadgets at them. Tarbiyah does not mean turning on an iPad and putting the child, plonking the child, 2-year-old, in front of the iPad, and he is now watching the iPad like a cat or a kitten or something. Yeah, this is not tarbiyah. Please understand this. Today, one of the biggest things, may Allah not hold it against us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not ask you a question about that, is this whole issue of screen times and the whole issue of gadgets. And mothers, especially mothers, because it usually happens with mothers, giving their children their phones or their iPads or whatever devices, just to keep them quiet, just to keep them engaged. They don't want to spend the time with them, engaging them, teaching them, playing with them, having fun with them. They just want to give them a gadget and leave them with it so that they can get on with their lives. My brothers and sisters, please do me a favor. You know, if you, before you have a child, think about it carefully. Right? Think about it carefully. There are much cheaper alternatives, as you know, right? They come in a cardboard box. Think very carefully. Don't just have children and then spend the rest of your life trying to avoid that or trying to get rid of them in one way or the other, either by sending them off to some daycare center too early in their lives, or before that, handing them over to whichever gadget you use. This is a huge crime, and this is a crime that you as a parent are committing against your child, and may Allah protect you from yourself. Allah will hold you accountable for this. Please don't do that. This is a horrible, horrible way. I won't even say horrible way of raising children, because it's not a way of raising children at all, neither horrible nor unhorrible, because this is not raising children. This is abdicating of the responsibility of raising children. And my point is very simple. If you do not want to raise children, then don't have children. It's better for you not to have children than to have children and to leave them like animals to grow any which way. And don't give me the fiqh about whether it is permissible to practice, birth control and so on and so forth. Please understand, I'm not talking about the fiqh of that. Yes, it is permissible to practice birth control if you have no time and no energy and no desire to raise your children. So help me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seriously. Right? So tarbiyah of children is your responsibility, and it is your primary responsibility. You want to talk about fiqh, let me tell you about the fiqh. In Hanafi fiqh, the only duty on the wife, please, all my Hanafi friends, wake up. The only duty on the wife, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, is the tarbiyah of the children. Nothing else. It is your duty as a husband to not just give your wife her nafqa, which is her spending money, which does not mean house money. It is her spending money. Her nafqa is what you are supposed to give her in keeping with your status. So it is not sufficient to give your wife in this day $10 or, 1,000 rupees, which will buy her maybe 3 pounds or something. Give her enough according to your own status, of which you are, about which you are so proud. That is her spending money. That spending money is hers to spend on herself to give to her parents, to give in charity, to do whatever she likes without reference to you. She doesn't have to ask you, she doesn't have to tell you. In addition to that, it is your job to give her money to run the house, if she's running the house, so you run the house. You go to the market, go buy the vegetables and whatnot, and bring them and cook them and give her cooked food, because in according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, it is your responsibility as a husband to give your wife cooked meals, right? So you got two choices, become Shafi, something else, become Hanbali. La la quwwata illa billah. We like to use our fiqh to our advantage, right? Follow the Imam who's most convenient. Anytime anybody praises me and say, "Oh my God, Sheikh, so beautiful, that is such a nice explanation," I remind myself and say, he's saying that because he likes it, because it suits his liking. So I'm a great, beautiful Sheikh who gives such beautiful explanations just because you happen to like them. I don't fool myself, believe me. I do not fool myself. If I gave you an explanation which you didn't like, then I would be the worst Sheikh in the market. I would be this horrible dakhyanusi, buddha, dimag kharab hai, duniya kya hai so nahi janta, kahan ki baitha hua hai jungle mein. I mean, that is what you would tell me, and the non-Urdu speakers, I didn't use a single curse word in all of that, believe me. My brothers and sisters, wake up. Wake up. This is a beautiful religion. Live it the way it is supposed to be lived, and you will become the most beloved person on the face of the earth to anyone who is around you. So to come back to the issue of tarbiyah of children, of your children, is your primary responsibility. It is not the primary responsibility of the school teacher or the daycare center person, and it's not the primary responsibility of the iPad or the iPhone. It is your primary responsibility. So view it like that, work on it, because you will be asked. Primary responsibilities, we will be questioned about. So let us not play games with that. Now that is what also bestows honor on the parents and gives them the status that Allah gave them. Children are told to be good to the parents no matter what the parents do or do not do. The two are not connected. We are not saying to the children, honor only parents who have been good to you, honor only parents who are Muslim, honor only parents who are pious. No. You honor your parents, no matter what. That's an independent thing. However, for the parents, if you are a bad parent, if you are not giving the children what is due to them, which is tarbiyah, then you are questionable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if Allah does not forgive you, then He will punish you. And as I told you, what is due to them is not only food and food, clothing and shelter. You are not looking after a baby goat, even though you call it a kid. You are looking after a baby human being. Right? Who is the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even though you call it yours, it's not yours, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's makhluk, which has been given in your care to take care of. And it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you neglect and if you do not take care of it and if you do not give it the proper tarbiyah, then you are answerable to the owner, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So throwing money at kids is not sufficient, just feeding them is not sufficient, taking them for this holiday, that holiday is not sufficient, because all of this for a lot of people just comes out of guilt. You have not given them the time, so instead of the time you buy them a new iPhone. Instead of the time you buy them some gadget, instead of the time you throw money at them, instead of the time you buy them lollipops, that does not work. There is no substitute. You don't want to spend time with them because it means also in today's day and age, when the children are so exposed to the world, their knowledge level generally is much better than the elders, and the elders don't want to look like fools before their children. So therefore, because you don't want to read, just ask yourself a simple question. How many books did you read in the last 1 year? Let me be kind with you. In the last 1 year, even though a lot of that 1 year, or maybe in different countries, different numbers, but in many countries, anything from 3 months to 6 months to more has been spent sitting at home. So you can't complain about not having had time. There's plenty of time. Did you use that time? Did you spend that time productively, which would have been in in reading something beneficial. Did you do that? So if you are not going to read, obviously your knowledge level is whatever it was when you left school in the 50s, 60s, and your child is now in 2020, so your child actually has more knowledge than you have. The problem is he doesn't know how to interpret that knowledge because he's getting bombarded with knowledge from all over the place, with information really, not even knowledge. And you don't have the understanding to be able to guide him. So what do you do? What do you want to do? So parents don't want to spend time with children. So parents don't want to spend time with children because they feel like fools. And they don't want to take the time and energy to stop being fools. So please, raising children is a responsibility. And whether you planned it or you didn't plan it, if you have children now, it is your responsibility. You bought into it. And you will be questioned about it. And if Allah doesn't forgive you, you will get punished for it. Just like there is sadaqatul jariyah, there is also azab jariyah. If a child is doing something wrong because of your lack of guidance, then you are responsible for that. And you will get the reward or punishment for it. Please, don't do this to yourself. Upgrade yourself. Study, learn, teach, read. Don't just watch YouTube videos. We have to read. Somebody asked me, why should I read? I watch videos. I said, if you just watch videos, then what about people who died before YouTube came into being? Where are those videos? I mean, sometimes the questions that I get asked, I really have to ask myself that the person asking the question, does he even have a brain? So the point is, raising children is a responsibility and Allah has given it to us. So let us spend time and do that. Think another thing. A lot of parents have this complaint, saying my children don't respect me. Tell me, if you had been the teacher of Quran for your child, would your child have respected you? You know, the reason why for a lot of parents, children don't respect them, and I'm not saying this, the children who are listening to this, please, this is not a license for you to disrespect your parents. If you are disrespecting your parents, you are making your own place in Jahannam. Please understand that. I am saying this as to the parents alone, as a warning to say, that if your children, if throughout your life, the only thing that your children have got from you is material stuff, then as far as you are concerned, you were a ATM machine for your children. They wanted money, they came to you. Some of it you gave without them asking, other things you gave them because they asked. But that was the sum total value of your value in their life. You were a meal ticket, you were an ATM machine. What respect do you want? Who respects an ATM machine? An ATM machine is used. It is not respected. So as long as they needed you, they used you. They don't need you anymore. So, tata. I have mentioned this story before, but I remember this mentioning it again. That there was this friend of ours whose mother died. So, day or two later, we went to, condole with them, with her. And we found that she looked perfectly normal. I mean, as if nothing had happened. So anyway, we made the appropriate noises. We said, I'm very sorry that your mother passed away and so on. And this lady was a very frank, outspoken kind of lady. She said, well, you are sorry. Well, I'm also sorry, but really, so what? So we thought this is a kind of strange way of talking. Your mother dies and you say, so what? So he said, I don't want to say you should be saying, not should be saying, but How do you say something like that? You know, so what? It's your mother. He said, no, I'm saying seriously, so what? Because my mother was never there for me. My mother had her own social life, she had her own club, she had her own kitty parties, she had her own friends, and she had her own groups and so on. I was, these are wealthy, very wealthy people. He said, I was brought up by governesses, I was brought up by, you know, by, well, within quotes, servants. So materially, I never needed anything. I mean, you know, there was someone to take care of me, take care of my clothes. I had always had food. I didn't have to worry about anything. It was a car and a driver. I could go where I want. My mother was not there. And I wanted my mother. I didn't want the car and the driver and the governess and the food and the clothing. I wanted my mother. My mother was never there. Because my mother was busy with her own life. Now, what respect do you expect? On the other hand, if your children learned from you, I'm saying Quran because that is obviously the best thing, but need not be only the Quran. Many things. Till today, I remember people in my life who are not my parents. Alhamdulillah, I had beautiful parents and I learned a lot from them. And inshallah, I respected them and they loved me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about other people in my life. Some of whom were not even Muslim. But as I was growing up, they taught me. They nurtured me. They mentored me. They gave me opportunities to grow. They gave me opportunities to learn. Sometimes lessons which were very tough. But they did that. They invested their time and energy in my development. Today, 50 years later, I think of them with so much of warmth and love and affection. And I truly miss them in my life. There are these people who today I wish they were there so that they could see what I do today and so I could talk to them about that and so on and so forth. Please understand, respect is directly proportionate to investment of time and effort and energy in the raising of your child. If you invested that time and effort and energy, your child will automatically respect you. You don't have to say anything. But if you did not do that, and if all that you did was to feed them and to buy them gadgets, and to buy them clothes, and to send them to this good school and that good school, believe me, when you get old, those children are going to treat you, if you are lucky, then they will treat you like a favorite old dog. And if you are not lucky, then you will be relegated somewhere to some outside outhouse stable, and nobody will bother. Why does that happen? Because there is no appreciation for valuable from you. My brothers and sisters, parenting is a responsibility. So do take it seriously. It is good to remember that the authority that you want and the honor you want, if you want that, then you have to honor the source from which you got it. And what is that source? That source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. The source of that honor is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. It is because of his hukum that you got this honor. So be obedient to Allah and Allah will make your children obedient to you. If you are not obedient to Allah, the desire to be obedient to you will also leave the hearts of your children. Today we have a strange phenomena of Muslim parents trying to force their children not to follow the Sunnah. If the boys grow their beards, the mothers and fathers have a problem. If they go to the masjid, the parents have a problem. If the girls want to wear hijab, the mothers usually, they have a problem. And in our culture, they will tell them, oh, nobody will marry you, as if that is the ultimate purpose of life, to get married. Nobody will marry you, and this will happen, and that will happen. And then, they complain when the same children who they stopped from going to the masjid, when they don't respect the parents, these parents have a problem. When that child was being obedient to Allah, you tried to stop him, maybe you even succeeded, who knows. So now when the child does not respect you, you got a problem. When he wanted to respect Allah, you stopped him. So now when he doesn't want to respect you, what is the problem? This is the outcome of what you did with that child. If that child had gone to the masjid, you know what he would have heard there? He would have heard somebody like me saying what I have been saying in this series of lectures on Surah Al-Luqman. That child would have learnt your rights as a parent. That child would have learnt that he or she should respect you as parents. You stopped them from the masjid, so you stopped them from getting that knowledge, from getting that hidayah, from getting that admonition, from getting that reminder. And the result is that now you are suffering. I mentioned this story before, but again, I want to mention it again. I was in Chennai. I had been invited to do a series of lectures, and most of them were in schools and colleges. So we went to different schools and colleges. And one of these lectures was in a very large school in Chennai. So after my lecture finished, it was to the entire school assembly. So the whole school was there, all the students, all the teachers, there were over 1,000 students. So after my lecture was over, I usually do not have question and answers, because there are no questions. I don't talk about masail of fiqh and so on and so forth. So what questions to ask? So I just tell people I'm talking about the greatness and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just listen and let it sink into your heart. Ask your heart, look into your life and say, how am I applying them? There's no question to answer. But anyway, the organizers have, sometimes they have different views on it. So in this case, the organizer said, are there any questions? And there was a little girl. She must have been maybe 10 years old or 11 years old. Couldn't have been more than 10 or 11. In the back, who raised her hand. So I said, yes, please, what's your question? So this little one, she said something. It was quite far away, the big hall. So I said, come here and tell me, come up to the stage. So she came up to the stage and she said to me, I have a question. My question is, and she was wearing a hijab. She said, my question is, I am wearing this hijab. I like wearing this hijab. But my mother tries to remove the hijab. My mother tries to force me not to wear a hijab. She says, if you wear a hijab, nobody will marry you. What shall I do? Should I remove the hijab? And she said, I have another question. And the other question is that I don't like to watch television. My mother watches all kinds of soap operas, this, that. I don't like to watch television. But my mother forces me. She catches hold of me, makes me sit there, and she makes me watch all of this stuff. And she says, you will learn about life. What shall I do? You know, seriously, I mean, I wept. Because I thought to myself that here is a child, Allah gave her a mother to guide her, and this mother is misguiding her. So really speaking, this child would have been better off being an orphan, being a yatim, having no mother. Because at least she would not have got this adult, this parent, misguiding her. Now, brothers and sisters, really seriously ask yourself, do you want to be parents? And in some cases, that may be out of your hand. You already are parents. But get serious about that. It can be the most, and it is the most beautiful thing, because your children are one of the ways of Sadqatul Jariya for you. The children are a pious child making dua for his parents is a means of ongoing goodness. A man, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a man's status in Jannah was increased. His daraja in Jannah was increased. So he asked Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. He said, Ya Allah, how did this happen? Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala said, because of the dua of your child. So raise children like that, and that will happen if you get serious about parenting. Make istighfar, make a lot of tawbah, and correct your ways. If you have not been doing what you should be doing, it's high time. Sit your children down, apologize to them, tell them, I'm sorry, I have not given you the time and attention that I should have given you. My eyes are now open, the scales have dropped. So I'm going to now spend time with you, and I'm going to try and help you in order to succeed. And we begin with worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. More later, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan for watching. As I keep saying all the time, the purpose of all of this is application, application, application. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.